Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table, Mary Ann Williams, also known around the table as Mama. Mama, good evening. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, good evening, my son. I'm doing well, and good evening to my PRF family, and glad that you could be with us this evening. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, look, it seems like it's been forever since I personally have been at the table, and so I'm just excited to be back in the saddle, back to doing the things I know God has called us to do. And listen, we're still at this place with the PRF table of just having conversations. You know, there was a time early on several years ago where we used to say that the PRF table is number one show on Blog Talk Radio, where we're introducing, conversing, debating, and learning. And trying to help people transformatively address matters surrounding our possessions, our resources, and our finances. And so that's where we're back at. We want to just make sure that all we're doing, we're just introducing, we're conversing, we're debating if we can, if we need to, if we have to, but we're doing it out of love. There is so much going on in this PRF world that it is not even funny, Mama.
Yes.
I tell you, from the 4 p.m. show that we have on 92.1 FM in Columbus, Georgia, to this show, to the learning sessions that we've been a part of, that we've been kind of going strong on with the PRF Institute since March of this year, when I tell you that people are going through some things, and I'm not saying it as if everybody's just going through it, but the things that people go through, even the things that people don't realize that they're going through, that's what amazes me, Mama. The people who don't realize that if you die today, your family is up a creek without a paddle because you don't have any life insurance. People who do not realize that if you die today because there's not a will, that your relatives, your family members are going to go through pure D hell and you are responsible for the hate that they're going to have towards each other. People don't realize things like that.
Yes.
Right now, there's an individual who's been wanting us to work with them, and we've been guiding them as we can. And the end of the story is this: they have several siblings, and this one individual has been the one who has been physically there with the parent who is no longer here. Is deceased, and they have been the one, or they was the one who was there for many years helping to take care of the parent. And after the parent dies, the way that the person is putting it is that everybody's now coming out the woodworks.
Yes.
But here's the deal. It's not that they're coming out the woodworks. The parent, well, I'll say the father, what the father did, the father had a will. And the father had a will and said, I leave to my five children my house. Mm. Good thing. But here's the deal. If there was no relationship before the death, I wonder if the father could have gone one step further. Because now the person who was in the house, who was with the father when the father was sick and taking care of the father, believes that that house is theirs.
Mm, yes.
Because the father said, well, when I die, this house, you can stay here as long as you can. You can't tell me. You can't tell nobody that. You can't tell nobody that when you got something in writing that says, I leave the house to all five of my children. That means that one person who took care of you all that time only has 20% interest in the home. And so now there's some stuff going on where somebody wants to buy the house. Some commercial individuals want to purchase the property because it's in a good spot. But the siblings can't get along. And so since the siblings can't get along, what do you do? So there's an executor, and the executor is like, hey, somebody's going to have to pay the taxes, and this person can't just stay here because if the other siblings don't want to keep the house, then you're kind of in a messed up way.
Yes.
So there's people who have done some things, and that's a good thing that this father had prepared a will. It's a good thing that the father didn't leave out any of the children. However, there's something else that he could have probably done if he was a little bit more knowledgeable, I would say.
Yes.
Right? A little bit more knowledgeable. And that's where we want to be. We want people to be as knowledgeable as they possibly can, which means that it doesn't mean that you're going to know everything. That means that we have others around us. We have this community of loving brothers and sisters that can just say, hey, did you consider this? Did you consider that? But you know they already you know they already not getting along with each other. You gonna leave this one piece of whatever to both of them? If they ain't talking now, what makes you think they're gonna talk once you die, bro?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just how real we have to be with this. Forget all sometimes all this teaching and all. Yeah, we're gonna teach. That's what we had the learning sessions for. Sometimes we just gotta let you hear the realness so you can say, you know what? Now, because of that, my heart is pricked. Let me sign up for a PRF learning session. Now, oh, you know what? This seems like this is something that could be in my family. Oh, this is something that happened in my family. I don't want that to be me. I don't want my family members to go through that. Let me sign up for a PRF learning session. Let me reach out to Dr. Dunlap, the rest of the folks on the PRF, on the radio show. Because at the end of the day, a lot of times, Mama, people just don't realize some of the things that they're actually going through, and we have
right.
to do something about
right.
it.
Right.
I can tell you, I've been watching a little bit of what's been going on in the political world. I keep up with it, but I don't let it burden me, and I sure as heck ain't getting in a bunch of fights with folk, especially
right.
ignorant folk, to the process. But something kind of struck me. That really had me thinking more so about credit and debt, Mama, and Democratic candidate for president, Hillary Clinton, she has a proposal that she's put it out there. And this proposal is, and I don't know if you've heard it, but it's regarding college education being free.
Yes.
Don't know if you heard that.
Yes,
now,
I have.
And so I did a little homework, and I found, you know, what are the points of her plan, her proposal. And then I also looked for Donald Trump, the Republican nominee for president.
Yes.
And I wanted to see if he had a plan. Well, I didn't find a plan that he had, but I found where people were able to take some things and say this is what he means, and this is what he said in response to that. So unfortunately, I don't have a level playing field because Donald Trump, unfortunately, for this topic of conversation, has not proposed anything except other than that what Hillary Clinton has proposed is not going to work. So I say that so folks don't think I'm pro-Democrat because I'm not, and I'm not pro-Republican or anti either one of them. I'm anti-stupidity. And I'm pro-God. That's where I stay. End of story. So I was reading over this, and some of the information, I mean, the information that I read was good. College used to be pretty affordable. This is directly on her website. For millions of Americans, that's not the case anymore. Too many families in the United States are struggling with student debt, and the problem has reached crisis levels. Well, we're gonna break this down, Mama, and jump in whenever you want. See, here's the thing. It ain't just reached crisis levels. It's been at crisis level. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So let us not be ignorant and act like, oh, because the presidential nominee says we're at crisis level, that we should be paying attention. See, no, no, no. We should have been paying attention because we've been talking about this. We've talked about this several times.
Yes.
So people should have been paying attention to it. But here's what she goes on to say, what's in this document. Within the last 10 years, total student debt in our economy has more than doubled and now exceeds $1.2 trillion. Nearly 7 out of every 10 graduates of four-year colleges are in debt. And these indebted graduates carry an average balance of nearly $30,000. Now, remember, you know, you've heard me talk about $25,000.
Yeah.
So it's increased. It also goes on to say student debt has surpassed credit card debt, car loan debt, and home equity lines of credit to be the second largest source of consumer debt. Mama, I will tell you, that's not good.
No.
One of the things that I've been able to see is I was talking about my upbringing, and I was telling them on the 4 p.m. show, I said, you know, I remember back in the day, my mama used to say, Nate, go to school, get good grades so you can get a scholarship so you can go to college and do good in college so you can get a good job.
You're
and
right.
I thought about that. I remember hearing that all the time. And, you know, sometimes when you, as a child, as a young person, you
right.
hear stuff all the time and then we don't want to do it. I said, I wasn't thinking about college. Well, I went in the military because I knew we didn't have the money. I knew my parents didn't have the money to put me in college, right? I knew that.
Yes.
And I didn't want to be broke, struggling through college and working 3 and 4 jobs. And I didn't want that. And I didn't want to borrow a whole bunch of money. I knew that at 15 years old, 16 years old. I knew that. I wasn't trying to go into debt for no college. That was what my mindset was.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so now I fast forward, and I just happen to be very fortunate in the respect that I went into the military, and the military covered a bunch of these degrees that I've been able to afford to get over the years.
Right.
I said, but watch this. A lot of people are not in that situation.
That's true.
That's where that 1.2, taking this on face value, Mama, this off of her website, taking it for face value. And if you want to go look it up, it's called Hillary Clinton's Commitment. A debt-free future for America's graduates. I may post it on our Facebook page so people can just go ahead and link to it. But let's take for face value that this $1.2 trillion is accurate. I personally have a problem with so many people being so much in debt. And I shared with them earlier that debt is not a bad thing. I really want people to get that. It's not a bad thing.
Right.
Nothing wrong with debt. There is something wrong when you have bad debt.
Right.
It is something wrong when you have debts that you don't pay. It is something wrong when people get debts or utilize credit that becomes a debt and can't pay it back or all that. Yeah, that becomes the problem. But just debt, if I borrowed $100 from you today, it would not be feasible for me to say, man, you made a bad decision, Dunlap. You borrowed $100, now you're in debt. No. And to go one step further, we've talked about, you know, debt consciousness. And I'm not going to give that away on tonight's show, but there's a difference between being ignorant and being conscious of something. So you could have debt, just being conscious of your debt. And we have some steps that we show people in our learning sessions. That's the key. And so going back to the college thing, so you have a lot of individuals who have done that, right? But we can't sell our young people today with that same wolf ticket that was fed to me.
Right.
Can't do it. Can't do it because there are individuals today who have college degrees, bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, several with PhDs and doctorate degrees that cannot find employment. I'm not saying that to put that on the fact of it didn't matter, what they did wasn't good, it wasn't valuable. No, I'm not saying that at all, and I'm not speaking anything against college and higher education. But what I'm saying is we are in a time right now where there are so many people in the upper ages of their years, right?
Yes.
The 40s, the 50s, that are dealing with student loan debt. And so because a lot of people are dealing with student loan debt, then it causes them to not make certain decisions. It causes them to make certain decisions not to give to the things of God like they probably could, because they know they got to pay that thing. They've been out of school 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 years. But if there's one thing I'm going to pay, I'm definitely going to pay that student loan, because, see, that I can't afford for that one to get messed up.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's one of those things that it holds over people's heads. And God is saying, look, I need for y'all to release some of this stuff. But even more so than that, Mama, God, I really believe God is saying, look, those of you who know better, I need y'all to start acting like y'all know me.
Yes.
I need y'all to start acting like y'all know me and know who I am and know that I've put some principles into effect for you, my people. And so since those principles I've already put in place into effect, I need you to operate by them. So now what that means is, in order for us to operate by them, we have to know what they are.
Right.
And if we know what they are, then we have to do the right thing and make sure that we are teaching others the same way. Now, look, it's not everybody's responsibility to teach somebody else something or everything.
Yeah.
I mean, God gave something great. He called them teachers. God gave something else great. He called it a spiritual gift of teaching. That's what we want to be following. That's what we want to be following. We want to follow that. And so I'm not too happy that just because we're in a political climate right now, that it has become a talking point. Because here's what I know. It doesn't matter who becomes president in November. This $1.2 trillion.
Yeah.
Neither one of those jokers, neither one of them, I'm sorry, I ain't going to call them jokers, neither one of those two individuals, neither one of them, neither one of the candidates, correct, neither one of those candidates who, if either one of them become president, you never know what God's going to do, will have the power to wipe away that $1.2 trillion.
Right.
Do you know how long it would take to implement what she is recommending? Because, see, there's some other things that go along with it. And so I want people to just be knowledgeable from the perspective of this. If you want to, if you think that this is a good plan, I'm not going to read through all of it. But if you think that is a good thing, if you think that college tuition should be free, the government should take care of it, everybody should go to college for free, or if you think it's not a good thing because you're on the other side of the aisle, then what's the alternative? What's the alternative? See, the world has no other alternative. The only people that have an alternative, Mama, is us, the believers, because we have something that God has already said. See, can I go? Let me go back to a scripture in Deuteronomy. God talks about in Deuteronomy 15, he talks about the release of the dead. And in Deuteronomy chapter 15, he mentions specifically, this is what I want for you, my chosen people. This is what he was telling the Israelites. He said, I don't want you to be in debt no more than 7 years. After 7 years, that debt needs to go away. Because debt is okay, but it is not supposed to be hanging over your heads. Because if it's hanging over your head longer than this time that I've ordained, then you're out of line. So it goes back again to, okay, yes, I know that we purchased homes with 30-year mortgages, 20-year mortgages. We don't always save up for money. We look at how much income we're making and how long we've been at our job, and then we get qualified. If somebody gives us a 30-year mortgage if we don't want to pay, you know, a little bit more money every month. As if, you know, we got it on a 20-year mortgage or a 15-year mortgage. right? Because, you know, we want to get out of mama house right now, or I'm tired of living in this apartment. So, or, you know, it's just a good deal, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But here's what I just want to believe. See, I'm going to believe what God said. And so if God says, since God said that 7 years, I don't want you to be in debt no more than 7 years, since God said that, then I just want to believe that I'm going to be able to maintain within those 7 years.
Right.
But if I'm, if I put myself into a situation where I make myself a slave to a 30-year note, but then after year 7 or in year 10, I'm like, man, God, it's getting a little rough. It's getting rough. It's getting rough. And God's like, okay, what you want me to do? I already told you what I wanted you. I already told you. This ain't, this is not my best for you. My best for you is what I told you to do, how I wanted to, for you to have be in, involved in this. I don't know what it's going to take for some folks, but I'm telling you, Mama, it is really going to take a group, a remnant, if you will, some segments, if you will, of God's people that's going to say, you know what, this is how we're going to deal with this.
Yes.
Yeah, this is how we're going to deal with this. We're going to deal with it this way. See, we can't get to the sections or the areas of helping people collectively get out of debt when too many people are struggling individually and refuse to come together. And I mentioned this earlier. There is blood on the hands of the church for not dealing with this. The blood, there is no way around it. And religious leaders. And it doesn't mean that every religious leader has to teach it, but it needs to be available. We're talking about resources. There's no way that so many people are so far in debt like they are in, and we go to church on Sunday like everything is okay, like that ain't a problem. What? Heck to the no, it is a problem. Because we can lift holy hands on Sunday, but through the rest of the week, we still got somebody that has bond, has us in bondage, if that applies to us. And that's not God's best. That's not God's best. I can't go with that. There's a couple of scriptures, and I gave it to him at the end of the 4 p.m. show earlier today. If you go and look in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6.
Right, okay.
For the Lord thy God has blessed thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Now, hold on. I don't know what you got out of that. Matter of fact, Mama, tell me what you got out of that. What did you get out of that?
Okay. Come on, help me, Holy Ghost here. Okay.
Okay.
For the Lord,
Don't struggle with it.
I'm willing. I'm willing. It says, for the Lord thy God blessed thee. So he's saying that he's blessed us as he promised he would, and that we shall not lend to other nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Okay,
let me give it to us in the New Living Translation or NIV. For the Lord God will bless you as he promised. You will lend as he promised, or to many nations, but will borrow from none of them. You will rule over many nations, and none will rule over you.
Okay.
That's the part that so many people hear.
Okay.
You will lend to many nations and you will not borrow. You'll be the lender and not the borrower. You'll be the lender and not the borrower. You'll be the lender and not the borrower.
Yes.
But how many times has anybody said, if only you fully obey the Lord your God, and are careful to follow the commandments I'm giving you today. Where that part come? Oh, did we forget about that one? Verse 6 is a result of verse 5. You got to obey the voice of God.
God, yes.
You got to
yes.
obey all those commandments that he was giving. And it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. Because he said, the commands I'm giving you today. God continues to speak. You see, for somebody, they may hear the command of God or read the command of God today. Well, you better take it as of today. See, for the Lord God will bless you as he promised. So, yes, we should be the lender and not the borrower. We should be able to lend to others, other nations. See, we should be lending to the world. Mama, watch this.
Yes, yes.
Who has control of the finances in our country? Does the Christian population lend to the, quote unquote, to the world? Or are we always borrowing from the world?
The other way around. We're always borrowing from the world.
So if it's flipped on its head, then why should we not have $1.2 trillion worth of debt right now? Why should it not be like that? We're out of line. We're out of order. Believers are out of order when it comes to this whole thing with debt. And regardless of what the reason is, regardless of who hasn't taught anybody, regardless of what you rejected, regardless of not listening to how wisdom has spoken, we're at the place of where we're at right now.
Yes.
So one of the better things that can happen is we can say, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. I love serving a God that allows us to go back to the drawing board. You know what? Yeah, you went and got that student loan, and you know you borrowed more money than you needed to. And you got laid off from your job. So I know you say I'm gonna go back to school, but you went back to school because you know you're gonna be able to borrow money off the student loan, so you can live off that because you need some bills. I got you. So now that you've done all that, we got to go back to the drawing board.
Yes.
And the drawing board is not as simple as some of these other programs that are out here actually put it out there to you. Well, just pay off this bill and then take that money and pay off that bill. And please, you know how hard that is for some folks to just say, oh, I'm going. Yeah, it could take discipline, but for a lot of folks, they need extra money.
Yes.
When I was almost at the point of bankruptcy, when I was at the point of bankruptcy back in 2002, if money had not come into my possession, I wouldn't have got out the hole. Wouldn't happen. So working, just by working every day, does not get people to a place of being debt-free. Does not get people to a place of reducing their debts when they don't have savings. It just doesn't happen. And this is the thing. If it is happening, how come ain't nobody talking about that when they give their testimony? Mm-hmm. I know churches all around this, I just say all around the various communities, that on New Year's Eve, you got people that are able to give testimonies on New Year's Eve, right? It's part of Watch Night service or New Year's Eve service or whatever they want, whoever wants to call it.
Yes.
You don't never hear nobody talking about debt. But yet everybody's talking about the increase. God's going to bless you. What happened last year? What happened the year before last? What happened to the year before that? Mama, I don't know about you, but we just got to just talk about it. Say, look, it's time to go to the drawing board. Let's go to the drawing board. We have to do that. We got to do it in a safe environment where people feel that they are able to communicate what's going on with them. And it takes work. What we do at PRF, Mama, this is not something that you just come and get a quick fix. It takes work.
Right.
And to be honest with you, that's why we don't have 10,000 people following PRF right now. because it takes work. Not that we're not willing to do the work, but people are not so much willing to do their part of the work. We're just a conduit for God. God is constantly saying to his people, if you take a step, I'll take a step. And his step may be PRF to help you with your situation.
Yes.
But your first step may be you need to sign up for credit and debt of first cousins. That may be your first step. And then bringing yourself to the place where you can get the actual teaching.
Yes.
Not just so we can just give you information. No. You know why we call them workshops? We call them workshops because there's work that has to be done. Yeah, Mama, I give you another thing I said also earlier today. Understand that the enemy is crafty. The enemy is cunning. Jesus said it in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
Generations have been destroyed for lack of knowledge. Generations have been destroyed for a lack of following wisdom. The failure to impart wisdom where it can be picked up by the next generation. So when that happens, we have to be able to see it for what it is. The enemy doesn't want God's children to be blessed. And we, as a group of collective Christians, we are not fighting hard enough. We ain't fighting hard enough. We're just not. And if we're not going to fight for what God said, hold on. But the Lord God will bless you. That's a promise. He will bless you as he promised. See, and then it says, and you will lend to many nations, but would not borrow from them. So you can't lend to many nations until the Lord bless you as he promised. But if you don't realize and if you don't understand what he promised to you, how the heck are you ever going to get to a position where you're able to lend? We need to create a course called No More Borrowing Mentality. But we do have one called No More Borrowing. We do have a lesson called No More Borrowing to Survive. And I mean that. A lot of people are in debt because they've had to borrow to survive. And borrowing to survive is just not a good thing. There's a passage of scripture in Nehemiah, if I'm not mistaken. It really focuses on borrowing to survive. And if you just go to the first chapter of Nehemiah, you realize that those individuals, God's people, that's what they did. They were borrowing to survive. And that's a perfect example of where a lot of people are in many of our communities today, borrowing to survive. And so, okay, again, go back to the drawing board. Let's find out why they had to borrow to survive. Because, see, what they did to borrow to survive in Nehemiah was not the same thing that you over there in Philadelphia had to do to borrow to survive.
Right.
Or this person in Charlotte, North Carolina had to do to borrow to survive. And see, and this is where I think so many people miss it. If you look at that, we're able to look at the Word of God and see where the people did that. They ain't talking about one person. They're talking about a group of people, a community. Mama, I don't even think you're getting it. Well, not you getting it. Somebody not getting this. The community had to borrow to survive. People better realize what's going on in the spirit realm. Because if I'm not mistaken, if you go to the book of Revelation, there's going to be people that are going to need to do some things to survive after in the tribulation. Am I wrong, Mama?
No.
The Bible clearly states what folk gonna have to do just to survive, just to make it. And we got folks today that are operating like that right now.
Yeah.
And don't realize it, just like they're not going to realize it, or some of them are not going to realize it during the time of Revelation. So we have some time. We have an opportunity. God has given us his grace to say, let me get this together. And so now here's my plea. My plea is for all y'all who are listening, who are sitting in churches, that know this is not something that's being dealt with. Don't worry about all 125 of y'all members being a part of PRF. If 20 is ready, let's do it. If 40 are ready, let's do it. That's the only place that we can be. Because, see, we can't do anything with the individuals that are not ready. Except for pray for them that they will get ready. But we can't do it. We can't really help them, those who are clearly saying, Lord, I'm not ready. But I want you to still bless me, but I ain't ready. Huh? That's an oxymoron. Lord, I'm not ready to do my part, but I want you to just keep showering your love and your grace and your mercy and keep paying my, take care of my bills. But I ain't ready to do what I need to do on my part. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, she was ready. She was ready. And not only was she ready, the people in her community, they had to already be positioned to be able to help her with her situation.
That's good.
And the Bible does not declare it when this woman went to get to borrow the jars from her friends and her neighbors. The Bible does not declare what the conversation was. The conversation could have simply been as easy as this. Hey, can I borrow a jar?
Amen.
Hey, you got an extra jar I can borrow? I'll bring it back soon. Or it could have been a little more in depth. I went to the prophet, and the prophet told me, come ask y'all for some jars. So I'm just doing what he told me to do. But she did it. She did it. So that's why do you realize that in the second chapter of Acts, after Peter stood up with the other 11 and started, as so many have stated, the first sermon the first sermon that Peter preached.
Yes.
But in that, one of the things that happened in that was this. Peter says, or the people said, what do you want us to do? What do we need to do? They said, what do we need to do? I'm trying to find it right now. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart, verse 37, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? I may preach that on Sunday, Mama. What shall we do? What shall we do? See, their hearts were pierced. And so then after verse 37, then Peter replies to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then it goes on to say, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number on that day. See, something has to be said that pierces the people's hearts.
Yes.
If what we're talking about is not piercing anybody's heart, that means we got to keep talking. That's what we have to do.
Yes.
We have to keep saying it, Mama.
Yes. Yes.
Until folk get it, or until God says, keep, just go ahead, just keep moving on.
And, you know, I was thinking about how Jesus, when he started his ministry, how he just for 3 years while he was here on earth, there were so many people rejected him, but he kept on preaching the gospel. He kept on preaching.
Mm.
He just kept on preaching.
It is confirmed. That's the message for Sunday. I'm preaching it. Brothers, what shall we do? Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Brothers, what shall we do? Because I am so tired. I'm so tired. I really am. I was thinking about some stuff. I was like, you know, I just feel like I'm so out of the game. I know this is being recorded, but, you know, I don't care because I'm me. But I just, like, you know, I'm kind of feeling out of the game a little bit because, you know, something happened on the 4 p.m. show. The engineer had to have emergency eye surgery. Retina was detached. That was right before. I found that out about 30 minutes before airtime. And then whatever happened with the network, and then last week the phone lines was messed up. So I was like, you know what? All right, God, you know, evidently something's going on. So for him to allow us to be back on the air at 4 o'clock and at 8 o'clock again tonight, I'm like, okay, I guess it's time to go. Brothers, what shall we do?
Yes. And, you know, Jesus, and may I say that Jesus, you know, he went and he prayed. You know, he had that quiet time. He had quiet time. Because you got to remember, his ministry was a large ministry. I'm just putting it. It was a large, and it was the people coming and coming and coming and coming. He was just putting out, and he was just putting out. So it was a time that he had to pray in between and just take a break, if I may put it that way.
Wow.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's time. We have the ability, you know. We so many people get encouraged on Sunday mornings. There's a king in you, you know. That's a theme going on with the men's ministry at our church. You know, there's a king in you. That's yes, there's a king in me. I know it, and I know I have dominion. But if I'm not taking dominion, you can keep telling me there's a king in me all day long. At some point, I got to take the bull by the horns.
Yes.
Because the only way you know there's a king in me is if you see a king.
That's good.
It's different between seeing a man, but this is the big difference when you see a king. Something has to be seen on top of me. You have to see something on me in order to recognize me as a king.
Yes. That's good.
This stuff is so serious right now. I'm telling you, it's so serious. We have the ability to make things a whole lot better for each other. Notice I didn't say for ourselves.
Right.
For each other's. We have the ability. If we're going to take our rightful place in this world, we got to make some moves.
Yes.
And I don't know when Christ is coming back, to be honest with you. But I'm not waiting for him to come back in order to have life more abundantly down here on earth.
Amen.
Because he's already said he came for that. So for
right.
me to operate, for any of you listening to operate outside of that, means there's a breakdown in the relationship and your understanding of who you are in Christ and who he is. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now watch this. Whole bunch of folk talking about being debt-free. But the wisdom in Proverbs, she says, she cries out to us by saying, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So until you know are no longer in that borrower state of mind, then you're always going to be serving to the lender. I don't care how many times somebody quote that scripture to you. is not going to change. The borrower is servant to the lender. Now, here's the deal. I can be servant to the lender. That $100 that I borrow from you, I'm servant to you as the lender.
Right.
But that's not going to keep me up at night. So just being a borrower and being a servant to the lender is not the worst thing. So you have to know the inference in this is about those who are borrowing and borrowing and borrowing and borrowing and get to a place where, you know what, they can come and take your kids from you. When it becomes excessive and you're a slave to that. Christ didn't come to die and died on, he did not come to this earth. God did not send Christ to earth. Christ did not go to the cross on our behalf. He didn't take the sins of the world for you and for me. By his stripes we are healed. For us to be in deep slavery to debt, that's not, it's already done. He's already accomplished all this. So why the heck ain't people listening? I don't know why I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm just saying it, Mama, because I know it needs to be said. I ain't going to act like that. It needs to be said.
Because those of us that are talking about it over and over again, but people are not, they're hearing, but they're really not listening. They hear it, and they hear it, and they hear it. And it's just like we go to church on Sunday, and you've been in the Word for 27 years straight, and probably heard every sermon that could be preached on certain subjects. But it means doesn't mean anything if, okay, yes, I heard that before. Then the mind is closed off because I heard it before, but you didn't hear it from this pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So how God led someone else to bring the word does not mean that he's going to bring the same duplicate. No, because if the speaker is really seeking God to say, what does this particular audience needs to hear? It could be altogether different from what you've heard 26 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be teachable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to have a teachable spirit. And we have to want to change. We have to want to change. We have to want to know that there is a better way. So, okay, we say the better way is with Jesus. Then why isn't my way better? So it goes back, let me examine myself and get with God. Those of us that believe, okay, God, show me, where am I going wrong here? And
see,
then once he does reveal it to us, are we willing to make the change?
But you know
what?
And
when he brings someone across our path from PRF, are we willing to make the change?
I'm going to press on that one, Mama, because some folk don't need to just, God is not going to, see, this whole religious mindset that sometimes masks as a spiritual mindset is a bunch of foolishness. Sometimes God is not going to speak directly to you because he already know you ain't going to do nothing about what he tell you.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Think about how many, as some of us are in positions that we say, you know what, I'm not even going to say anything to, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. Early in my military days, when I was the first time I was a supervisor, I had two soldiers underneath my command. Right, that I was responsible for. I knew after a period of time not to say anything to Specialist E. because Specialist E already had the answers. Specialist E was already listening to Staff Sergeant S. But Specialist W was soaking up everything that I was giving him, because everything that I was given by Corporal M, my former supervisor, I gave to Specialist W. So I didn't waste my time with Specialist E. I didn't do anything to harm him, but I didn't recommend him for this. I didn't recommend him for that. I didn't try to do anything to further coach him along, because every time I brought something up, it was like, oh, well, such and such already told me about that. Okay, but such and such ain't even in your same career field. So what he's trying to tell you to do, I'm telling you it ain't going to work because he's in a different career field. But, okay, you listen to him if you want to. I can tell you who lasted long in the military. I can tell you about the career of one over the career of the other, the one who listened. So why won't God be the same way? No, I'm not going to say anything. That's my encouragement to some folks. Don't be a Specialist E. Be a best Specialist W. Somebody who God knows, if I give this to him, if I give this to her about credit or about debt or about tithing or about giving or about planning or about savings or about wills or about inheritance or about stewardship, that whoever that person is going to take that and operate with it. Yeah. God wants us to hearken to the word that he's giving us. But God already knows who ain't ready to listen. God already knows who is not going to listen. In the book of Proverbs, I've been dealing with Proverbs a couple weeks ago, and I believe it's in the first chapter that talks about wisdom and what wisdom does and the rejecting of wisdom. I was like, oh, my goodness. And I did something one day. I went into my little secondary office and had the book, and I just opened it up, and it landed into the same spot. I said, okay, it's clear. This is where I need to be.
Amen.
This is where I need to be. This is where I need to be. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. And, again, he was talking about rejecting wisdom. Listen, how about this? Wisdom shouts in the streets, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds among the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? Ooh. See, if I just would have said, now if I just said that to y'all, I'm like, why are you talking so harsh to us? But now you ain't got no reason to say nothing about me. You just take it up with God. Because that's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? If I said that, y'all be like, Rev talking, he ain't talking nice. Verse 23, come and listen to my counsel. I will share my heart with you and make you wise. Oh, it gets better. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. Pastors, I've called y'all so often, but y'all ain't coming. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. I sent you emails, but you don't even have a common courtesy to respond. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. You know you got folk that's hurting in your congregation. Send somebody. So I laughed when you were in trouble. This is what wisdom says. This ain't me. So I laughed. I will laugh when you were in trouble. See, Mama, this just changes the game.
Yes.
It changes the game. It changes the game because a lot of folk are with this mindset, oh, as long as I call God, he's always going to be there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You're right. He won't leave you, and he won't forsake you. But what I just read, so I will laugh when you're in trouble. I ain't going to forsake you, but I'm going to laugh at you when you get in trouble. What? Oh, my gosh. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they come to the altar every Sunday. go to prayer meetings every Wednesday. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of their living their own way. Let you do it your way. Choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. And then the last verse of this chapter, he gives a but. That means everything that he has said before now is about to get just wiped out. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. I'm done. I'm done. This thing is so serious right now. And if people don't realize how serious it is, and if those of you who are listening think that if your guy or your girl gets into the White House, that your life is going to be a whole lot better, then you're ignorant. You're ignorant. No other way to say it. If you're a believer, and you say, you know what, let me just turn back and let me see what God is saying about this, let me not get wrapped up so much into all this political stuff. You know the most that we really got to do when it comes to this election, Mama? Is cast our vote on that first Tuesday in November. That's really the most that we really have to do, because every election, especially since the one from 2008 presidential, folk have been trying to get folk to register to vote. And I know that that is some people's calling. That is what some people are supposed to do. But when that's not what you're really supposed to do, and you veer off and you start doing all these other things because these things start coming up and you think they're good things, you lose focus of where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Oh, so much of the energy and the time that is being put into and all the stuff that's on Facebook, which I don't even follow anymore, all of that stuff that's going on. I say it like this. The 2 hours that you spent scrolling through Facebook, going back and forth with jokers that you know don't care what you say, they still going to believe that they're right. And no matter what other folks say, you going to believe that you're right. So y'all ain't came to no terms of agreement on Jack. Those 2 hours could have been spent on that PRF learning session of that area that you know you need help in, that you go up to the altar every Sunday asking God to just fix. So this thing is about choices. I just really feel so much in my heart that God is like, y'all jokers, will y'all get it? I don't know if you remember, I know I said I was done, Mama, but I remember somebody, Deacon Parker at our home church. I remember seeing him 1 year and a couple years ago. He said this to me. He was like, Nate, where are you working at? I said, no, I'm not. I'm not working anywhere right now. And he said, you're the only person I know that'll work for a little while. This is when I left to finish my doctorate degree, or that's what I did after I left. He said, you're the only person I know work for a little while and then quit. Work for a little while and then quit. Now, when he was saying quit, he wasn't saying, like, quit, like, you know, because I'm just, you know, just a knucklehead and just sorry, but, you know, quit and doing something else. Like, you know, I've had purposes of why I quit jobs in the past. And I said, but you know what? And, you know, and they know we still, you know, do well. God still blesses and all that. And everybody know we go on vacation every year and all that good stuff. I said, but you know what, Deke? I said, yeah, it's a blessing to be able to do that. And I'm thankful. At the end of the day, it's not good enough that it's just me doing it. I want other folks to be able to live like this, to be able to do that, to be able to step out on faith. So if it was about me, I could be selfish and just chilling, living. Right now I'm looking at a skyline somewhere, Mama. I don't know what I'm looking at, just a bunch of buildings, I'm looking at a Chase building right now. Big old room sitting just I mean, if you could see me, you'd be like, hey, what are you doing? I am literally just chilling. Everybody can't do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think as of late, I've been catching up to Shatara. Shatara's been, she travels so much, good gracious. But I think I'm catching up with some mileage to all her trips right now. I'm saying that because I know she's listening. but we want folks to be able to go on vacation. We want pastors to be able to take time off. We want people to do things. We want people to live life more abundantly. Things that we have to do collectively. And I can't just, again, this is not, I'm not no one-on-one financial planner, so you're not going to get what you have to do individually. You're going to always get from me, what do we got to do collectively? Because we read in that Bible, we don't read God talking to specific people all the time. I mean, he speaks to those who he's called to do certain things. But when he deal with Israel, he's dealing with Israel. Can I bring it into like a regular terminology? When he deal with Philly, he ain't dealing with just West Oak Lane. He ain't no Philly. Not West Oak Lane. Philly, all y'all. All millions of y'all. That's who he's dealing with. Gotta get it. Guys, people gotta get it. Gotta understand where we at and what he's trying to do. He got promises about how. I thought I was done, but I'm not. But when I'm done, I'm done. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 12 and 13, it says, and you may have heard this, the Lord shall open up unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in the season, and bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Almost what we read in Deuteronomy 15:6, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what are we talking about? Promise. He's going to open up the heavens. What? You got to be able to visualize God opening up the heavens. You got to be able to visualize the storehouse of his bounty. We already know what a storehouse is. Storehouse is not just a basement. A storehouse is like really, really high if you really take what the literal sense of what a storehouse is. To send rain on your land in season and to bless all of the work of your hands. You'll lend to many nations. You can't lend unless you got some stuff to lend.
Amen.
But I'm so tired of God's folk just dealing with so many things out of context. Can we read the whole section for a chance? Just going back one verse, Mama. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and your crops of your ground, and the land he swore to your ancestors to give. The Lord is promising to grant me abundant prosperity? Huh? Okay, well, hold on. I can't just go. Why are you doing all this for me? Okay, well, let's go up a couple more verses. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. Oh, we heard that one before, right?
Yes.
The Lord shall bless thee in the land which the Lord God gives thee, right? Oh, what? Why are you going to do all that for me? Just because? Okay, so I know with PRF, we know that, you know, we got some haters. Some individuals that don't understand it, don't understand God, don't understand us. We already know that. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but will flee from you in seven. Oh, so I ain't got to worry about jokers just talking about PRF? No, you ain't got to worry about that. See, the question is, are you willing to take it for yourself? Are you willing to take God's word for yourself? And if we're all taking God's word for ourselves, then we should be able to do something collectively with it. But why is God going to do all that? And it goes back to the same thing. God is not changing things that he's already established through his word and in his earth. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commands I give to you today, it's not changing. It continues to be the same statement over and over and over and over. All these blessings will come on you and will accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So then that scripture, the scripture that says, blessed, you should be blessed in the city, and blessed shall you be also in the field. But you ain't just going to be blessed just to be blessed. You're only going to be blessed by being obedient to what God has commanded us to do. So we got to pull the sheets off of some stuff. We got to peel back the envelope. Take some layers off the onion, whatever metaphor you want to use. There has to be something different. And if churches ain't willing to do it, no problem. People are still going to be where the people are going to be. We can get a whole lot farther collectively, Mama. A whole lot farther. A whole lot farther. All right. Mama, I said I was done. You done, Mama?
Well, I have a couple things to say.
I'm muting my mic.
Okay. If we, and I'm saying that as the body of Christ, you know, want to have these blessings that God says individually, we have to come together because we can't do this by ourselves. And when it says, I seek God, but I couldn't, he's not there. And that just touches my spirit because who else do I have that loves me unconditional? Going back to who would die on the cross for my sins, that loved me that much? So my obedience to the counsel, which I would say is the word of God, cannot do anything but help me to get the knowledge that I need, the understanding that I need. And then it says in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So it lets me know this is not about me. This is about all of us getting together. But my blessings depends on my obedience. God's love is unconditional, but my blessings are not. He says, whatever you put your hands to, I have to put my hands to something. We as the body of Christ have to put our hands to those of us that choose to want to do this, because it says we know it's not for everyone. But those of us that we have decided this is what we want to do, we want to just help people. And to me, to help them in the financial areas of their life, which once we get that together, we have a better, it just affects the rest of our lives. Because we have humbled ourselves. Because this is just not about Dr. Dunlap. And what God has given Dr. Dunlap to share with us, he's sharing it with us, but it's coming from God. Hallelujah. So we humble ourselves and say, God, I know that you said this is what you're going to do. And you say you want us to have a more abundant life. You want us. You want this. And you have promised us this. So I'm going to humble myself to your word. And I'm not going to go wrong. And if I am, you're going to let me know if I have a willingness to want to be corrected. Amen. So I don't know what else to say, but obedience is better than sacrifice. We cannot do this, and we can do all good things. But it's more than just doing all these good things when I feel like doing these good things, and when we as a body of Christ feel like doing these good things for people, it's more, oh, that's nice. But are we being obedient to what God wants us to do? And that's to share and to have a compassion on people and to want to help those that want to be helped. And those of us that do have the knowledge, and he's given us understanding about the PRF ministry here, and which is our possessions, resources, and finances. It's, that's who we are. We are possessions. We are resources. And we are finances. This is the life that we live. We're going to be involved in all of these, whether we are ignorant to it or not. So why not want to get on board with the one who gave the vision and say, all right, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm teachable, I can be corrected. And we have to begin to be honest with ourselves. Why do I want this? Because it sounds good? Or do I really want to be effective so I can help someone else? Amen.
Well, Mama, that's it. So, everybody, look, we thank you for being with us. This has been a different show tonight, but sometimes it has to be different. So we just invite you to come back next week, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also just go to our website, prfministry.org, and you'll take a look on our calendar, and you'll see all the things that we have going on here at the PRF Teaching Ministry. We also have another show, which is Living Life More Abundantly, which comes on at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Columbus, Georgia, on the radio station 92.1 FM. So, again, we just ask everybody just to be with us. Follow God and what God is trying to do. So as long as we're following God, we ask you to follow us. That's what we're really trying to get people to do, so that God can give you everything that he's already promised and everything that he's trying to give you. So with that, we say God bless you, we love you, and we will see you next week here on the PRF table. Good night.